This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 23. And the Children's Church kids read it and led us with Psalm 23 earlier. And I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles and turn about to the middle of your Bible where you'll find Psalm 23. The teaching notes today don't have a list of verses. It doesn't have the scripture printed out. I think it would be good for us to have the Bible in front of us as I talk about these verses. And know that this morning we're kind of grazing through as a sheep might. We're grazing through Psalm 23 together. Now, many times when we think of like the 23rd Psalm, we think of children's church or Sunday school kids reciting this psalm. And it would be easy for us to think, oh, that's the kids' chapter in Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's one of the things that little kids memorize. You know, it's good for us as adult followers of Christ to have this verse committed to memory as well, because it is a foundational truth about our relationship with God. Knowing that God cares for us as a shepherd would care for his sheep is central to our understanding of who Jesus is, why he loves us, how he cares for us, how he leads us, and how he desires to use our lives. So hopefully you found Psalm 23 by now, and I want to go through just a couple of verses at a time and talk about a few observations about our relationship with the Lord. And know that everything about this psalm is in context of our relationship with God through Jesus, with God as our shepherd. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. These verses are all about confidence and trust and reliance on God in the context of relationship. The moment we place our faith in Christ, we respond to the shepherd's voice of calling us into an eternal relationship with him. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal claim that you and I can make if Christ is our Savior. It's a personal claim that says not that the Lord is a shepherd. We know that he is a shepherd. He shepherds people. But we make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know what? God is ours, and we are his. We're in a reciprocal relationship. We belong to God, and he, by choice, through Christ, belongs to us. Psalm 100, and if you'd like to turn over a few pages to Psalm 100, you're welcome to. I'm just going to read verse 3 of Psalm 100, because it speaks to this idea of being in a personal ownership relationship with God. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Now, I'm guessing that if you wanted to compliment someone this week, you wouldn't walk up to them and say, "Man, you are a sheep. You remind me of a lamb. You're a ewe." The concept of us being sheep and God being our shepherd is one of the major themes throughout Scripture. But you know what? Sheep are dirty, aren't they? I've told the story before, but I was at a conference, and I think like the theme was, "And the shepherd will lead us." And they had decorations all over, you know, a sheep here or there. And there was another conference going on at the same hotel, and I overheard someone from the other conference say, "What is up with all these sheep? Look, they're everywhere. What's it all about?" And the response of the other person was, "Well, you know those Christians, they're really into sheep." And they walked away kind of scratching their heads. But we are referred to as sheep. Sometimes sheep, we have our own ideas of what we should do and where we should go. And sheep can be very rebellious toward the shepherd, God. In spite of all of that, the Lord is our shepherd, and he cares for our every need. We don't have any needs when we have Christ, when we have God as our shepherd. Here's the promise that he makes. The promise is that he makes us lie down in green pastures. There are times when he invites us to green pastures and times when he leads us to green pastures, but there are also times when he makes us lie down in green pastures. It's for our own good. It's where we find the restoration for our souls. David wrote Psalm 23, and as a boy, he tended the flocks of his father Jesse on the rugged hills that surround Bethlehem. David drew from this experience as he wrote Psalm 23. My guess is that he thought back to the long, silent hours of solitude as he led his sheep across the land, listening for the whispered voice of God. Now in Israel, in the hillside of Bethlehem and the hills of Judea, there's a short season late in the fall, and that season is beginning now as the rains begin to come. There's a short season as the rains soak the barren hills that surround Bethlehem that the land bursts into life. During this time of year, the desert is transformed to a sea of green. But for most of the year, in most of that region, the grass is sparse and it's dry and it's brittle. A good shepherd would look for places where the green grass grew so that the flock could be led to places to eat and to find rest so that they could be sustained during the dry season of life. Now, the sheep really can get by, and we saw this taking place. A lot of the areas where we drove, we could see sheep and goats surviving on the stubble there in the dry land. They could feed on the crackly grass, but it's the green grass that would bring satisfaction and sustenance over a long period of time. The idea of green swaths of grass and water are still connected to this day. As a shepherd, David knew what it was like to lead his sheep through arid and rocky hills that were dotted with acacia trees and the occasional olive tree. He knew how important water was. He knew that as a boy, as a shepherd. Later in life, he was a fugitive running from King Saul. And he knew that leading his renegade bunch of Israelites, this rugged band of men that surrounded him, he knew what it was like to find the waters of En-Gedi, a stream that flows through the deep, deep ravines that surround the Dead Sea in Judea. David knew later in life as the king that he was to lead his people, the nation of Israel, to the streams of Mount Zion, the streams that make glad the city of God, and those streams run today in Jerusalem. The shepherd David, the fugitive leader David, the king David, knew how important the gentle and still waters were for the sheep and for the nation. Now, if you can picture up in the hills of Judea, in the land, the earth, literally giving away into the deep recess that is the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth, one of the driest places on earth, picture rain up in the hills of Judea, percolating through the limestone geography down to the bedrock, the impermeable place of stone beneath the limestone, all the rain coming down, it forms into streams of underground water that will find a place in the earth where it's open, and from that open spot, the streams will burst forth and form pools and streams, gentle flowing water for the shepherd and his sheep. David knew all about this. Did you know that in the Dead Sea Valley, in the Jordan Valley leading into the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth, do you know what the greatest cause of death is in those valleys and the ravines? It's drowning. You would think that it would be heat exhaustion or heat stroke or wild beasts getting people, but people travel in cloudless skies into the ravines, and when the rains fall in the upper hills of Judea, huge flash floods come through and wash through there. that water, the rushing, flowing, flash floods, those aren't gentle streams where you would want to be or spend time. David knew that safety was in the still water, the safe water, the place where the flock could quench their thirst. A good shepherd leads his flock to still waters. Now, in that dry and desolate place, there are places where the water comes to the surface, and around those places, kind of like an oasis or a green swath of life exists, the shepherd would go to those places near still waters and let their sheep graze on the green, green grass. The place of still waters was the source of predictable, reliable, constant green grass in the driest of summers. Psalm 23, verse 1 again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, in life, it's one thing to have our hunger satisfied. It's another thing to have our thirst quenched. And it's still another to have our soul refreshed. Boy, we need that, don't we? We need times when we're refreshed by the Word of God and the living water of His Spirit. There are times when we need deep refreshing for our souls. And here Psalm 23 says that the refreshing comes in the lying down, in ruminating on the things, the blessings that God has given to us. Do you know about ruminating? Sheep are ruminids. I think that's the way what they're called. Maybe walk up to someone and tell them that they really look like a ruminid. See how that conversation goes. But the sheep, as they're moving through the dry grass or they're feasting on the green grass, they store it in part of their stomach. And then over the day, they re-chew the food that they've already chewed. They ruminate on it and they break it down and they make it more digestible. The best rumination happens when they're lying down and still. Often you'll see them grazing quickly for about 45 minutes, then for the next hour, they rest and they ruminate and they're refreshed. We too need quiet, safe places to stop and reflect, to ruminate on the wonders of Jesus, to ruminate on the personal relationship with Him that we have, and to acknowledge that He is the Good Shepherd. He's the one who cares for us and provides everything we need in life. In the first couple of verses in Psalm 23, we see His provision, and now we will see His protection. He guides us through the right paths. Look at verses 3 and 4. He guides me in paths of righteousness, for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. When it's time to move from the green pastures and the still waters, when it's time to move, the shepherd leads the sheep in right paths. Some translations of Psalm 23, 3 says, He guides me in paths of righteousness. Another translation is, He guides me in right paths, in the right way. Either translation is correct, that God guides us in the way that we should go in right relationship with Him and right relationship with the people around us. Now picture a shepherd constantly moving with the flock, looking ahead, planning the next move, thinking about where he wants the flock to be. He watches and he moves with the flock, and he chooses for the sheep the right path. God does that constantly for us. He moves us into His paths. He invites us to live lives that are righteous and just. He's constantly moving us to the path He wants for us in life. And if we look at these verses in Psalm 23, sometimes that path leads through difficult places. Sometimes the path goes right through the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. Even the good shepherd leads us into places that are difficult, but those are safe places for us because we're with him. Even when life gets tough, we do not have to fear because of his presence. Seeing his rod and his staff becomes a comfort for us because we know that he's in charge, that he's in control of our situation and our circumstances. We have a good shepherd, though we're led through tough places, a good shepherd who does not abandon us, who walks with us through those places. One day early on, as our team was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and we posted a video of this, we stopped at a traveler's rest high above the pathway, the freeway, and it was in the same spot. The parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus told that story, and this would have been the region, the area that people would have pictured, this dangerous trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. We stopped at an ancient traveler's rest where we could see the hills of Judea and the land as it dropped off to Jericho and the Dead Sea. And one of us was looking off in the distance and about a half mile away saw a flock moving across the hills. It was a big flock. It seemed like there were 100 or 125 beasts in the flock as they made their way across the hillside. And as we looked, we could see the shepherd there moving with the animals. We saw over the next few minutes that sometimes the shepherd leads from the front, blazing the trail, showing the others where to go. But then sometimes the shepherd would fall back and be in the midst of the flock. And from that distance, it looked like he would move them along with his staff. And I imagine that he was speaking words of encouragement, maybe making noises to keep them moving, maybe calling some of them by name. But there were times, too, in those few minutes where the shepherd would drop to the back and move the sheep along and keep the strays moving forward. And as we watched, we saw one really big one kind of drop down. There were two hills that kind of converged into a ravine, and the shepherd was bringing them across the top of the ravine. And one of them dropped down, a big one, into the ravine and began leaving the flock. And three or four others joined that one, and they too started going down, and the flock moved on, and the shepherd stopped, and it looked like he was calling down to those renegades. But they kept going down, and so he left the flock, ran down and grabbed the big one by the front legs and dragged it up the hill to the rest of the flock. And he didn't stop until it was in the middle of the flock and the rest began to join, and they all moved on to the still waters that were waiting at his encampment. There are times when the shepherd does that for us. Aren't there times like that? He coaxes us and he encourages us. Sometimes he has to prod us, and sometimes he has to go looking for us. The good shepherd guides us in right paths, paths of righteousness for his name's sake and for our good. We've seen his protection, we've seen his provision, and in verses 5 and 6, we see his presence. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God provides for us even when we're surrounded by adversity, even when we're surrounded by enemies, even when he calls us to dangerous places. There's kind of a shift in imagery that David brings here. First, we have the imagery of the sheep and the flock, and then he brings it more to a person experience gathered around the table. It's rare, I think, in Israel or even here that we see sheep gathered around a table to eat, right? But David brings this additional picture in. It's a table of fellowship. Think about one of the last times you gathered with friends around a table to eat. It's a good place, isn't it? It's a place of friendship and laughter and remembrance. You know, sometimes the food can be mediocre, but if there are good stories, it makes the meal, doesn't it? Don't you love laughing at a meal and hearing stories and spending time together? And here David says, Lord, my shepherd, you prepare a table for me, a place of safety, a place where I'm provided for, even when I'm surrounded by enemies. Now, it's important that you hear me in this. It's very, very important that you hear this. I'm not calling the Palestinians enemies. I'm not calling them enemies at all. But there are places where we travel when we go with these teams, places where some Palestinians are more hostile toward Westerners, places where some Palestinians are more hostile toward Christians. We have seen Jesus lead us to those places and literally prepare a table before us in the presence of my enemies. Just maybe less than 48 hours ago, everyone on the team was gathered in a Palestinian village where we were served incredible, incredible food. And we laughed and we hugged and we talked about our lives together. And there in the midst of what could be a very hostile place, God literally prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. It was a safe place, abundant food, lots of laughter. Now, it's really important that you hear me in this. It's very important that you understand what I'm about to say. The Israelis are not our enemies. They're not our enemies at all. We have experienced places where some Israelis are very hostile toward Americans. We've experienced places where Israelis are very hostile toward Christians. And we have seen Jesus take us to places in the Israeli territories where he has provided safety and a table in the presence of our enemies. In those places, we have found food in abundance. God has provided. We've experienced laughter with friends resounding into the neighborhoods, and our hearts have been strengthened. It's the presence of God with us that allows you and me to stand strong when we're in a hostile environment, whether it's halfway across the world or in our own community. He provides his presence that allows us to sit strong, to stand strong and sit secure in the presence of our enemies. There's an assurance that comes when we know that our shepherd is alert and in control and actively working for our good in spite of difficult circumstances. Our shepherd cares for our needs. He anoints our heads with oil. Now, this picture of anointing the sheep head with oil, there are all kinds of there's a lot of imagery that comes from that. One of the reasons that a shepherd would anoint a sheep's head is that moving through the thorns and the thick grass and all that stubble, without some kind of lubrication to have those things fall off, a sheep's face could get easily matted. And having a head anointed in that way helps the brush to fall away and helps as the shepherd cleans the face of the sheep. The oil also has medicinal properties to soothe sores or wounds. But the oil, too, is a mark of ownership and care. It's a mark that says, you belong to me, you are mine. Isaiah 43, the whole book of Isaiah is filled with shepherding imagery. And in Isaiah 43:1, Isaiah speaks. He says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." If you are a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you belong to the great shepherd, God. And he anoints us with oil. He protects us from the hard things in life. He walks through us in the hard times of life. He heals our wounds. He comforts our hearts. And he has placed his mark of ownership on us by his Holy Spirit. Knowing Jesus as the shepherd of our soul makes all the difference in this life and for eternity. And I love what verse 6 says in Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's great hope, isn't it? that we experiencing the presence of God in this life means that we will experience the presence of God for eternity. One of the things that I love about Jesus, and there are a lot, is that he brings who he is, his character and his nature, into terms that we can understand. And he did that in the first century. In first century Judea, throughout the Roman Palestine, everyone was really familiar with the way that sheep operate and what it takes to maintain a flock. And so we step into their experience to understand what Jesus said. This is what he said to the people in John chapter 10. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." He's speaking about himself. "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came to me, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Listen to this declaration that Jesus makes. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus affirms again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also." And I believe that's talking about the Gentile world, us, we who are not Jewish, who have come to faith in Christ. "They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." When we read Psalm 23 and we hear about the Lord being our shepherd, we know that Jesus is our good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He laid down his life for us so that we could live with him forever. So what does it mean for you? What does it mean for you to know God as your shepherd? What does it mean to know Jesus as your shepherd? I believe we know his provision, and we know his protection, and we know his presence through our personal relationship with him. What will it take for you to know his voice? Jesus is clear that the sheep know his voice, and there are other places where we have the idea that the sheep recognize and follow the shepherd's voice. What will it take for you to know his voice? It takes time spent with him. It takes obedience to him, and it takes repentance when we find that we've wandered from him. How in your life, how do you long for green pastures? Is your life right now dry, desolate, stubbly? Do you long for green pastures and still waters? Can you hear the roar of flash floods? Do you need still waters? Ask him, ask the good shepherd to lead you to those places, and I believe he will. It's in the green pastures and alongside the still waters that we find refreshing for our souls. Sometimes in life, it's hard to find those quiet places. Maybe for you, this hour and 15 minutes, this hour and a half on Sunday mornings, maybe this is your respite. Maybe this is the place where you find still waters and green grass. We need this. We need rest. We need to carve out times and our schedule in our busy weeks to listen for the voice of the shepherd. For in hearing his voice, we find confidence to live in a really rough world. In so many ways, we're blessed in the U.S. by comforts all around us, but in spite of everything we have, it can be a rough and a rugged place to live out our faith. And we need to know the voice of the shepherd. We need the satisfaction that comes from the green grass. We need to have our thirst quenched through the still waters that he provides. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the children downstairs as they learn about you, and thank you for the work that they've done over the last weeks in committing to their memories the 23rd Psalm. Thank you, Father, that smack dab in the middle of Scripture, we can find the declaration that you are our leader. You're the one who provides for us. You're the one who protects us. And Lord, as we look at our lives, there may be pieces of our lives that are in shambles. And we wonder, Jesus, how you could ever pull things together and make things right. Give us the assurance, the confidence to know that you are the shepherd who does not abandon us when times are tough, but that you walk with us and call us to paths that are right. I ask, Jesus, that you would bring healing to my friends here this morning, that you would anoint us with your oil, that you would cause us to experience strength and sustenance that maybe we don't experience right now. And we ask that our souls would be refreshed, that the water of our life would run deep, so that we may be a refreshing source for others as we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen.